Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 1, Text 299, we were hearing how Lord Chaitanya was wandering or walking through the streets of Navadvip with a handful of his students, his Sanskrit students. He was visiting different houses, randomly visiting houses, and challenging the Brahmins there and having debates with them at their doorstep or in the foyer of their house. He would have debates with them about Naya or Vyakaran, about grammar or logic, and then he would defeat them, soundly defeat them, and then challenge them and becoming in a very boastful mood. And this was, he had readopted his previous arrogant scholar bhav, which he had abandoned after being initiated by Ishwarapuri. He became deeply ensconced in Krishna bhav and Krishna and love for Krishna. But then his teacher, Gangadas Pandit, being induced by the students of Nimai Pandit, Vishambar, they complained about Nimai. They said, now we're studying Sanskrit and he simply talks, everything's Krishna, every syllable, every point, everything is Krishna. And he's not telling us anything about grammar. So can you please chastise your student? So Gangadas took Nimai to the task. He said, listen, you don't come from a family of Murkas. Your mother and father and great Brahmins, intelligent, and both family lines are Brahmins and very intelligent, Jyotishis and scholars and pundits. So why are you acting so foolishly and speaking Krishna, Krishna, Krishna? You should study the sutras, the Vedanta Sutra, and speak properly what I have taught you, and the students will be happy. So Lord Chaitanya, I mean rather not Lord Chaitanya, but Nimai Pandit at this time, he responded in a very humble way, and he said, Yes, Guruji, I will follow your instruction. And he returned and reopened his school, and then he became very, again, he assumed his mood of the arrogant scholar, challenging any pundit, and prayed, and all the students were very happy. Oh, this is the Nimai Pandit we know. But at this particular house that they went to next, it was the house of Ratnagarbha Acharya. And Ratnagarbha Acharya, he was not a logician, he was not a Naya. Whatever you call it. He was not a logician. He was not a master of logic, and he was not a grammatician. He was not a grammarian. He was, of course, he knew all those things, but he was a Krishna Bhakta. So he was always absorbed in hearing Shastra and talking about Shastra. So when he went there, when Mahaprabhu came there, he heard, instead of hearing, as he heard in other doorsteps of other pundits and Brahmins, instead of hearing Sanskrit, Sanskrit shlokas about grammar, this Ratnagarbha, he was reciting verses from Bhagavatam, and he was relishing the Bhagavatam verses. So he was relishing this verse describing the beauty of Krishna that was seen by the Yajnapatnis when they brought out their foodstuffs to offer Krishna. Shamam Hiranya Paridimbana Malya Bharha Dattu Pravala Natavesham Anavratam Ratamse Vinyasta Hastamitaraina Dunanam Abjam Karnotpalalaka Kapola Mukabjahasam. Krishna's complexion was dark blue and his garment golden, wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves. Krishna was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. Natavesham, Natavesh. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend, and with the other he twirled a lotus. Lilies graced his ears, his hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus face was smiling. This is what they perceived when they had finally had sakshat darshan of that wonderful person that they've been hearing so much about for so many years and so many months. Bhakti yogi shlokopadi parama santosh praburar karnate asi karila pravesh. Ratnagarbha Acharya was reciting verses of Bhagavatam, shlokopad, bhakti yogi, with great satisfaction, Parama Santosh, when the sound of his recitation entered the ears of the Lord, Dun 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 dun. Karna Pravesh. We have Lila Pravesh, Kriya Pravesh, it's Karna Pravesh. Prabhu. When the Bhagavat Shravan, this is the Panchanga Bhakti, and Bhagavat Shravan, Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga, to hear the Bhagavatam, Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, Jiva Goswami comments the Nectar Devotion. This is Panchanga Bhakti. One of the limbs of Panchanga Bhakti is Bhagavat Shravan, Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. So Jiva Goswami says, although Rupa is saying Bhagavat Shravan, what he really means is Dasama Skanda. Dasama Skanda, because this is the Rasa Skanda. This is full of Ras, Prem Ras, Braja Ras, Madhurya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsali Ras. So this Panchanga Bhakti, one of the five most important limbs of devotion, is to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association with of Rasika Bhaktas. Rasik Bhakta Sahasanga. So this Bhagavat, this Ratnagarbhacharya, he's a Rasika Bhakta. He's relishing Bhagavat Ras. And Paramasantosh, the utmost satisfaction. One will experience the Paramasantosh by relishing Bhakti Ras, especially the specific Ras of his Sthayi Bhav, which is generated when his Sthayi Bhav interacts with the other type of Bhavas at the level of Prema. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is looking for a fight. He has come to this door looking for a fight, a debate, a challenge, a refutation. The Digvijay Pundit, Nimai Pundit, who defeated the famous Kashmiri Pundit from Kashmir. And he's defeated in all directions. He's going house to house having fist fights. Come on, you want to fight? Toom! Okay, ha ha, look at the students, we knocked him out. Then go to the next house. Come on! Toom! Ah ha ha, oh Nimai, Jai Nimai, Jai Nimai. So he's going from house to house knocking out all the pundits, right? And all the students are cheering. Jai ho, Nimai Pandit ki jai ho. Now he comes to this house of another Navadvip, or Nadia, he would rather say, Nadia Brahmin. And then this one is different. He's not poring over the Vedanta Sutras or poring over the Sanskrit shlokas of the dictionaries and Amarakosh and all the different Sanskrit books, Vyakaran, Shastra. He's relishing Bhakti Ras. He's hearing the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the Yajna Patnis. And this is what it means. Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. This is an example of what Jiva Goswami is saying. Specifically, what Bhagavatam we should hear? The 10th canto. And the lady sitting on the steps, she's absorbed in that one. She offers due respects to the remaining 11, but she has her heart fixed up in that one. So, fine, very good. It says that this is the Pravesh, this is Karna Pravesh. This is the straight way into the ears of Lord Chaitanya. If you want to enter the ears of Lord Chaitanya, you want to enter, because if you enter the ears, then you enter the heart, because the ears are connected with the heart. You speak something in the ear, it goes to the heart. Right? So then, and it takes shelter there. If it's real, then it lives. Those words live in the heart, and they grow there. And they transform the heart. And they soften the heart, and soothe the heart, and nourish the heart. Words are very powerful, if they're real. So now, what to speak of Bhagavat Shravan? So if we recite the verses of the Bhagavatam, Gopi Geet, Pranaya Geet, Viraha Geet, Brahmar Geet, all these wonderful Geets in the 10th canto, Venu Geet, if we recite these, then these shlokas, these pads, will enter the Karna Pravesh, they will enter the ears of Lord Gauranga, and they will mix up in his heart, and he'll think, who is reciting this Gopi Geet? I must bless them. I must go and find out. I must enter their hearts. First we have to enter the heart of Lord Chaitanya by our seva, by our submission, by our surrender. Then he will enter our heart. So now this surrendered, pure Brahman, Ratnagarbha Acharya. It's very interesting, Ratnagarbha, because garbha means womb. A woman's thing is whatever the place is called, the garbha. But it's also what we call the garbha griha. there's something called Garbhagriha, and that's where the deities are kept in a temple. When you read the Shilpa Shastra, Shilpa Shastra describes the designs for temple architecture, the location of the Nat Mandir and the Griha Garbha, Garbhagriha. So this is the house where the Thakurji, we say in English, the sanctum sanctorium. Is it right? Sanctum sanctorium. That's what they call the center of the church, like the Vatican. It's called the sanctum sanctorium. In other words, it's the purest place of the purest places, the heart of the heart of the heart. Then you come in the temple, okay, you're in the temple, you're in the darshan mandap. But then you go closer and then closer and closer, and where the Thakurji is standing on the altar is called the Garbhagriha. So this interesting name is Ratnagarbha. So Garbha means that inner place, that secret place, and Ratna means jewel. So we can understand he's appropriately named, because people at the time of birth, as we mentioned in another class, they're named according to their Jyotishi, or their Kundali. So if it looks like you're going to be a dirty fighter when you grow up, if it's seen in your stars that, yes, you're born in a Kshatriya family, but you'll fight in a bad way and do bad things, then we should give you appropriate name. Yudya and Yodhan means fighting, and Dur means dirty and bad. So your name will be Duryodhan. Harimo! So these names were given at birth, not based on the nakshatra and what syllable. Now they base it on the nakshatra. Nakshatra or the planet and what syllable vibrates to that planet. Gi, ga, 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 gi. Okay, your name is Girdar. Your name is Oh, your nakshatra's akshara is A. Oh, your name is Amit. It's like this. This is modern naming in astrology, but in Vedic times it was much more specific and exactly. Oh, this baby, he'll always be looking, searching. Where is God? Where is God? Where is that person? Where is that person? Examining. Are you that person I saw in the womb? Are you that person? He'll be examining up and down, like, you know, some people also do. And then, so we should call this person, this baby should get the name Parikshit. Because Parikshit means examine, search, check out. Let's check it out. Let's check her out, or check him out. So he was checking everyone out, examining everyone to see, are you Vishnu? Are you that Vishnu I saw in the womb who saved me with his chakra and destroyed the Brahmastra weapon of Ashwatthama? So similarly, he himself was a Brahmin, so he was probably named by his father as a Brahmin. So he gave him the name Ratnagarbhacharya, because in that inner sanctum sanctorium, which is his heart, he had a great jewel there. Ratna means jewel. What is a jewel? The jewel of Prema Bhakti, the Mahanidhi. Nidhi means jewel or treasure, and Maha means the greatest. So there's no greater treasure than Prem. Prem Seva of Radharani, this is the Mahanidhi. To attain that great, great wealth. And that's an unlimited reservoir, because Nidhi means reservoir, ocean. So if one attains the wealth of Radha's eternal service, then he swims in the reservoir of Ras, Seva Ras, Bhakti Ras, Prema Ras. And that reservoir is vast like an ocean, unlimited. It's more better than the ocean. It's a Maha Nidhi. Nidhi is a regular ocean, but a Maha means an unlimited ocean with no boundary. This is the meaning of Maha Nidhi. Once somebody was explaining like this to me, I went to meet one very advanced devotee. He said, "What is your name?" And I said, "Oh, Maha Nidhi." He said, "Maha Nidhi." He said, "Maha Nidhi." And he went on for like 15 minutes. And I said, "Wow, really? I thought it was one of the thousand names of Vishnu." Because in Vishnu Sahasranam, it says, Maha Krama, Maha Vava, Maha Nidhi. It's there. Maha Nidhi. And at that time, when Prabhupada was naming our God brothers, a whole group of there's three shlokas in a row, and we were all initiated at the same time, and we all got those names from those shlokas. One was called Mahabuddhi, one was called Mahashana, one was called Mahanidhi. And we were all initiated at the same time, because at that time, Prabhupada was just going through the shlokas of Vishnu Sahasrana. So, we have to give some new names here. There was Mahashanti, and Mahanidhi, Mahabuddhi, Mahanidhi, Mahabuddhi. The thing is, he's reciting these verses. Ratnagarbha is reciting these verses, and it's really full of prema and full of love, because his heart, his garbha, the garbha of his heart, is swirling with waves of love for Radha and Krishna, for Krishna's lila. So now, the effect of this pure recitation, rasa-filled, prema-filled recitation, because he himself is a rasika bhakta, and he's speaking these rasa-filled shlokas, and who's doing the shravan? The Bhagavad shravan in this case is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, right? And as soon as he heard it, what happens? Bhaktira prabhava matra, shunilata kiya. se kshane parilena murchita haya. Wait a minute. Ganga Das, the dean of the school, the teacher told you, you don't come from a family of murkas. You don't come from a family of murkas, and now you're going murka. Hey, what happened? You promised not to go murka. You promised to go and teach Sanskrit. But as soon as the Lord heard the glories of devotional service, bhakti prabhav, shunila takya, Vishwambar lost external consciousness and fell to the ground. Say kshane. At that moment, kshane means a moment. Padilena murchita hai. Padilena is murchita. He went, fell down. Finished. Now his students are standing here and they're looking and say, oh my, here we go again. We lost our teacher again. Now he's gone doing his Krishna thing again. He moved back to the Hare Krishna temple. He came home and he started acting normal again, going to school. And now he ran back to the temple. He's becoming Hare Krishna. Sakala paduya bharga vismita hoyala shaneka antare prabhu bhaya prakashila. All the students were struck with wonder at vismita. After some time, the Lord regained consciousness. Bhaya paya bhala bala bale vishambar garagadi jaya prabhu dharani upar. Upon regaining consciousness, Vishambar repeatedly exclaimed, Bolo, go on reciting, as he rolled on the ground. In other words, he was transformed by hearing one shloka about the Yajna Patnis appreciating the beautiful Rupa Madhurya of Krishna, Sri Krishna, reality the beautiful, in Vrindavan. He went nuts. He means she. She means Radha. Because Krishna, in the form of Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing the kanti, or he is the color, the kanti of Radharani, and it also means the kanti of her bhav, because every type of bhav has its own kanti or color. So he's experiencing the kanti, or the color of Radharani's mahabhav, and the bhav itself, kanti and the bhav. And of course his body is the color of mahabhav. Mahabhav has a color, and that kanti is tapta kanchana gaurangi, radhe vrindavaneshwari, vrishabhana sate devi, pranamami hrikpriye. That color the color of Mahabhav can be nothing else but the most brilliant gold, 1,000 times purified. In the fire of, when they purify gold, they use fire. So you purify gold 1,000 times, 10,000 times, and you get the most brilliant golden color. Of course, no one goes that much trouble. But that's the color of Radharani, Mahabhav. So now, Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, experiencing Radharani's love, or Mahabhav, is hearing, Radharani's hearing, Ratnagarbhacharya glorify her beloved, her Sham, her Nayak. And when that happens, she breaks to pieces. Just hearing about his peacock feather and his garment and his sprigs of flower buds. And she's hearing that verse because for Radharani, Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela are one. We all recite the verse. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra Nitya Mukta Purna Shudo Binatvam Nama Namano. For Srimati Radharani, Binatvam Nama Namano, she realizes there's no difference. There's no separation or difference between Krishna's Nam, Rup, Guna, Leela. She hears the name, she hears some shloka, which is vibration, Shabda, transcendental sound, Shabda Brahman, glorifying her beloved. That, so she simply hears that shloka and immediately she becomes Leela Pravesh. This is Karna Pravesh. This Bhakti Yoga Shloka from Bhagavat, Dasama Skanda, Bhakti Yoga, this means a shloka full of prema. Bhakti Shloka means Prema Shloka. Prema Shloka means Prema Ras, Madhurya Ras. So Karna Pravesh, as soon as this Prema Ras, is this shloka, this Shabda Brahman, full of Prema Ras, Karna Pravesh entered the ears of Radharani, then she immediately, that shravan, that hearing, brought Krishna's rupam and his gunam and his leelam. And she saw that Krishna. She saw in her heart that Karna went in her ear and went into her heart, danced in her heart, and Krishna entered there. Because Krishna's, a shloka describing Krishna, Bhakti Yoga shloka, is non-different from Krishna. It is Krishna. That's why the Acharyas say that the Srimad Bhagavatam is Bhagavat Sarup. It is the sarup, the personal sarup of Krishna. So for Radharani, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing Bhagavatam means seeing the leela of Krishna. in this case. So when she saw her Krishna, after so much separation, arguing Sanskrit and being absorbed in this Bahirvesh, or Bahirchit, this external consciousness and identity of being the proud pundit, immediately Mahaprabhu or Vishwambhar entered into his internal identity as Radharani and fainted on the ground, starts rolling on the ground, says, tell me more about my beloved Ratnagarbha, go on, describe more of his pastimes, more. Because something good you don't want to have once, you want to have many times. You eat a Golabjaman only once? ISKCON bullet, you only want to get shot once? Golabjaman is ISKCON bullet, Prabhupada said. So you get shot once and you say, oh, I'm dead, don't give me any more. No, you kill me too much. You shoot me 10 times. Give me ten of those bullets. In Second Avenue, they had a jar by the front door. Prabhupada would make every day or every hour or whatever. He makes so many Golabjamans and keep in a glass jar. Why glass? Why not a crockery jar? Why not clay where you can't? A glass jar, because it's transparent and you can see it. Brown and juicy and syrupy and shiny and sweet and mouth-watering. So when the devotees are in the temple, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, oh, I feel so tired. Wow, look at that. Look at those Golabjamans. Wow, they're mouth-watering, they're shiny, they're brown, they look so effulgent. They're irresistible. They have this golden brown color. In the center of the Golabjaman is darker brown, but on the edge it's a little bit like yellowish golden. And it just looks like a thousand sunrise. Looks like a thousand sunrises rising above my dark heart, and I'm feeling so dark and tamasic and about to sleep. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think I better pop one of those. Because people on Second Avenue, they're always popping something. Yeah. In those days, it's called popping pills. This ecstasy, that ecstasy, this pill, that pill. So Prabhupada was very clever. He said, listen, stop popping pills and start popping Golabjamans. There's a big pill, Barogoli. Barogoli. It's this big goli. Goli means pill, big round thing, goli. This big. Why is it that big? Because if you open your mouth and close your mouth, that's how much space is between your upper palate and lower palate. If you actually go inside, you become small. You go inside your mouth with a ruler, and you measure the distance between your upper palate and your lower palate, and it's exactly the size of a Golabjaman. That's why they make them that size. So when you put it in your mouth, it fills your mouth cavity. Your oral cavity will be completely filled by prema, Krishna's phala, Krishna's saliva, the Golabjaman. And then you'll just... One will make you run. Two will make you fly. Three will make you forget the world. And four, you'll enter the Leela. Arivo! ISKCON bullets ki. Yeah. So Prabhupada called them, or at least, no, Prabhupada didn't call them, but the devotees called them ISKCON bullets. It was like code name. Hey, give me a bullet. Okay, here. Speak easy. So now, these shlokas are like ISKCON bullets for Radharani. She is. So now what does he say? He says, go on reciting. He's just rolling on the ground. Oh, sham, sham. And the students, oh my God, here we go. Now we have to call Ayurvedic doctor. Now our teacher's got this vata disturbance, this vayu disturbance of his life there. Now he's rolling around saying, sham, sham. How are we at? I tell you, I want my tuition fees back. I paid a lot of money to study in the Sanskrit school. Now our teacher's going bonkers. And this, we can't really get our money's worth. This, I don't know. Prabhupada bala 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 vipravar. Utila Samudra Krishna Sukha Manohar. Vishambhara said, Bolo Bolo, chant, chant. And the pious Brahmin, Ratnagarbhacharya, continued reciting. The musician played and the dancer danced. And the result was beautiful, ecstatic. Vipravara. Vara means the best of the vipras. Why is he? There's so many vipras. So many vipra this, vipra that, this Bhattacharya, that Bhattacharya, this Banerjee, that Banerjee, whatever, all these guys. So, Upadhyaya. But he's the vipravara. There's so many vipras. They're only jyotishis, or they're vaidyas, or they're yagyawalas, or this or that, or pujaris, or they're pandas or pundits. But he was a vipra vara. Why was he the best of the vipras? Vara, like Vardhan. He was the best because he was distributing braja prem ras. That's why Vrindavan says, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's Vipravara. Utila Samudra, Krishna Sukha Manohar. The enchanting ocean of happiness and Krishna consciousness manifest. Krishna Sukha Manohar. Samudra, the ocean. The Mahaprabhu, Radharani, she dove in an ocean, not in the ocean, Krishna Sukha. The happiness of seeing her beloved. The happiness of hearing her beloved's flute. The happiness of feeling her beloved's embrace. The happiness of hearing her beloved's words whispered in her ears. The Samudra Krishna Sukha, unlimited ocean of happiness. And experiencing all that, she lost her mind. Krishna stole her mind. Manohar. So Vishambhar, Mahaprabhu, Radharani, her mind is being stolen by the sweet shlokas of the Bhagavatam. So you can imagine. There's the adibhautik understanding of the shloka, adiatmic and adidaivik. So now, the adibhautik is something going on between Ratnagarbhacharya and the Lord Chaitanya. This is the external level, or one level. But then adiatmic, how does it apply to me, personal? And then the adidaivik is the transcendental, or Krishna's level. The adiatmic level is, oh, well, wait a minute now. Ratnagarbhacharya, he's a Brahmin. He's a Vaishnava. And he's a worshiper of Radha and Krishna. And he studies Bhagavatam. And, I'm some kind of Brahmin, and I'm some kind of Vaishnava, and I also do some kind of study of the Bhagavatam. And he's chanting these shlokas for the pleasure and happiness of Lord Chaitanya. In such a way, with such purity and such prema, that the Lord is really happy. So happy, he's entering an ocean of happiness. And these shlokas are stealing his mind, and he's feeling so happy. Samudra Krishna Sukha Manohar. He means she means Radha. So Radha, in this pastime, Radharani is showing the followers of Radha or the aspiring servants of Radha how to please Radha, how to steal Radha's mind, how to submerge Radha in an ocean of Krishna Sukha. And Ratnagarbhacharya is revealing that great jewel of sadhana, sadhana bhajan. What is that great jewel? Read the 10th canto of Bhagavatam for the pleasure of Radharani. Recite the Gopi Gita, the Veno Gita, the Brahmar Gita, the Viraha Gita, the Yuga Gita, for the pleasure of Radharani, with the intention of submerging her in an ocean of Krishna Sukha, and with the intention of helping her lose her mind by hearing about Krishna, Manohar. Because this is what's happening between Ratnagarbha and Vishwambhar. So it's because this can happen any this happened then, it can happen now, it can happen any time. We have this combination. We have a pure devotee reciting 10th canto with the intention of pleasing the Lord, nourishing the Lord, and satisfying the Lord. Because when the Lord hears the 10th canto, he's going to say, Bala, Bala. He says, Bala, Bala, Bale, Vishwambhar. And he's going to say, Bale, Bale, Bale. He's going to say, more, more, chant more, sing more, sing more. So this is what we call, how does this apply to us? The Adi Atmika Vichar of the shloka. And Adi Daivika, it's between on Krishna's level and Radha's level. That's, we already explained what's happening there. Lochanera Jale Haila Prithivi Sanchita Ashrukampa Pulaka Shakala Suvidita. Unbelievable. The earth, Prithvi, became soaked with the tears of the Lord. Now, see how this is the distribution aspect of Gaur Leela. In one moment, Gauranga's relishing Madhurya Leela, Braj Leela. Then, in the very next moment, he turns the coin to the other side and he starts relishing Audarya Leela. Audarya Leela is Madhurya being distributed, and Madhurya is Madhurya being tasted. And Audarya is Madhurya being tasted and simultaneously distributed. That's Audarya Leela. So now, he's in the last verse, Samudra Krishna Sukha Manohar. Radharani and Gauranga, they have entered this deep ocean of Krishna happiness. And now, That's the Madhurya aspect. Now surfacing, going so deep in that ocean that the mind got lost and enchanted and stolen Manohar. Now Radharani surfaces in that ocean and says, oh, but let me distribute this to my devotee. Who is my devotee? Prithvi Devi. Prithvi Devi is the goddess of the earth, Bhu Devi. So now, how can I distribute it to her? I can pour some of this water from the Krishna Sukha Samudra on her bosom, on her face. So I will drench the earth with my prema ashru and distribute this pure love, this Krishna Sukha, to Mother Bhumi, to Prithvi Devi. Lochanera Jal, my Lochanjal. Lochanjal means premanjanat, chuita bhakti vilochanena. It's told Brahma Samhita, Brahma saying, Premanjana, Charita Bhakti Vilochan. Bhakti Vilochan means the eye of devotion. This says the same thing. Devotional eyes are there, but when the devotional eyes are agitated by the rising of ras in the heart due to certain vibhavs or udipans, then those devotional eyes, they pour forth tears. And that's called Lochanera Jal. Because now we say Bhakti Vilochan, the eye of devotion, the eye of love. But in Lord Chaitanya's case, his heart is agitated and swirling with the rasas, his mahabhav. So that ras is coming out in waves from his eyes. Lochanera Jal. Lochanera Jal hai prithvi sanchita. Ashru kapa pulaka sakala suvidita. He's trembling and his voice is choked up, his hair is standing in end. These are astic satric bhavs, because they all go together. There's udipan and vibhav, anubhav. And then these astic satric bhavs, vyavachari bhavs, they all mix up together and create the ras. So this is the distribution aspect in this verse. Audarya lila, audarya is being shown here. There's no purport here. I'm just giving my own. By the mercy of all of you. And the Vrindavan Das Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. That's why I've read this book many times in English, and I never read it in Bengali, because that's where everything is there. This is a sutra. Every word has unlimited meanings. Every verse has unlimited meanings. And if you only see the verse in English, you can't find it. You can't find the sutra. The earth became soaked with the tears of the Lord, who manifest ecstatic symptoms like tears shivering and hair standing on end. Deke vipravara tandra parama ananda pari bhakti shloka bhakti sanikari ranga. When the pious Brahmin Ratna Garba Acharya saw the Lord's parama ananda, great happiness, that's pretty weak translation. English is really flat. Parama ananda, great happiness. Come on, Jack. Great happiness. You win the lottery and you say, oh, I'm feeling great happiness. But you can't equate winning the lottery and winning a few rupees, that great happiness, with parama ananda. In English, you can't find the word. There's no word. It's just flat, dry. Deke vipravaratana parama ananda. So seeing, this is the reciprocation. He was offering this to the Lord and seeing the Lord's... then he... Ratnagarbhacharya recited verses with increased devotion. Padi bhakti shloki bhakti sani kari ranga. He increased the volume. He increased the ras. He increased his prem. Oh, I recited this beautiful verse describing the Rupa Madhurya of Krishna and Braj of the Yajna Patnis. And this beautiful Brahman, this person is responding, Vishnubhar is responding in such a way. And he's appreciating my recitation, and he's really relishing and displaying sattvic bhavs, and never seen before, such amazing transformation in someone after I do a bhakti pade, bhakti shloka pade recitation. Let me go more. Let me really go into it. See, this is called bhakta bhagavan sambandha, prem sambandha, the relationship between the devotee and the Lord. Ratnagarbha is obviously an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. So they're relishing. One is singing, the other is dancing. One is playing music and the other dances. This is love, exchange of love. One is nourishing the other. One person dances and they dance in such a way that the musician becomes inspired to play more enthusiastically. Then the musician plays more enthusiastically. Then the dancer dances more enthusiastically. Then when the musician sees a dancer dancing enthusiastically, oh, and this goes on and on until one of them falls on the ground. The arms of the drummer fall off or the legs of the dancer fall off. But here, there's no material. It can't end because it's spiritual. They have spiritual arms and spiritual legs. So now you see the exchange. This is a beautiful, loving exchange. This is Bhakta, Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Bhakta, Prem, Sambandha. Text 307. Dekhiya tahana bhakti jogare patan tushtahai prabhutane dila alingan. Seeing Ratna Garba's devotional recitation of the Bhagavatam, Vishwambhar became pleased and embraced him. So this is love. You serve me and make me happy, and I feel so happy, and I want to serve you and make you happy. Then we get so happy we don't know what to do with each other, so we embrace. We don't know what other service to do. I'm so happy I don't know what to do now. Anyway, come here. Just take that and whatever else is in my heart, just you take it by osmosis. Take it from me. It's there. Just somehow you draw it out of me by embrace, close embrace. Alingan. It's called Premalingan. Tushtahai. So the Brahman was Parma Santosh, the Lord's Parma Santosh, and Lord is in ecstasy. Oh, you know, you got me high. It's like, you know, the drug dealer gives you something. Oh, thank you know that thing you gave me yesterday? Oh, that was great. All right. So it's like Lord Chaitanya, Vishwambhar, you heard in this Bhagavatam, you became completely transcendentally ecstatic. You told me about Krishna. You're my real friend. So friends embrace friends. So this is the real meaning of a devotional friend. A friend is someone who reminds you about Krishna. Doesn't tell you the latest ISKCON gossip. Latest, you know, did you hear the latest gossip from the banks of Radhakund? Did you hear the latest Gaudiya Math gossip? Oh, really? Huh? Do tell. Then what? And then? And then. Not only that, but the other thing is, you think so? No, is that really true? No, I know. I saw it with my own eye. Oh, you saw it. Well, then it must be perfect because you're perfect. And whatever you see is perfect. So, therefore, I accept it, and I'll tell everybody I know, too, based on what you saw with your perfect senses. So, consequently, the illusion expands, and by the time the rumor gets around, 3 days later, it's like, first it was a guy, you know, Babaji sat next to a Russian girl, and 3 days later, it was like he got married. Babaji sat next to a Russian girl to tell her about, you know, his guru or something. And the same rumor 3 days later was, do you know that Babaji married that Russian girl? This is how rumors fly. They fly and they expand exponentially. Every second, the rumor changes in a new shape. You can't, 3 seconds later, you see the rumor now, the rumor, the gossip, and 3 seconds later, you say, you recognize this? No, that's not the thing I started off. It's like some kind of mutation, radioactive from radiation. The rumors and gossip mutates in so many forms. By an hour later, you don't know what it is. Because I've been in the middle of a lot of rumors myself over the 30 years, and people come to me and say, "We heard this about you." What I remember one person I was coming out of the samadhi said, "We heard this." I didn't even know the person. He just right in the public says, "We heard this about you. Is that true?" I said, "Whatever you want to believe, you believe. Hare Krishna." I have nothing. This is not a court of law. I didn't say all that, but I have nothing to defend. I know what my relationship is, and you say whatever you want. I just said, whatever you believe, you believe. Hare Krishna. I left, and he was like, "Oh, gee, I don't know. Is it true or not true?" Anyway, it sounds juicy. It sounds good. I'd rather believe the rumor than that whatever this Swami said. So go on. Fine. You go your way, I'll go mine. It's like that. And the other really amazing thing, but it won't tell. Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai. So now we'll leave. Here's our beautiful story. This Ratnagarbha has brought the Lord back to Krishna consciousness, away from the Sanskrit pursuit of Sanskrit studies, which he momentarily dipped into again after his diksha. And not only that, the Lord is merging in an ocean of happiness, Samudra Krishna Sukha Manohar, and his students are standing by saying, "Oh my God, here we go again." I think this time we better really look for another Sanskrit teacher. I think he's going too far gone now. So we'll leave these two great personalities together in this loving Prema Lingana, and we'll keep them in that frozen portion of time in our hearts. And tomorrow we'll find out what happened in the middle of that Prema Lingana loving embrace, because everything should end on a sweet note, and there's nothing more sweet than to embrace someone you love. Of course, it's hard to find someone to love, first of all, but Lord Chaitanya is Prem Purushottam, so he doesn't have any trouble. He finds lots of people to love, and if you get close to him, he'll love us too.